Hi, I'm Jane Apkin. I'm the owner of Seniors Helping Seniors for the Berkshires in Western Mass. And welcome to Seniors First. This is a show where we talk about all things that relate to seniors in the Berkshires. Today, I have a bit of a local celebrity on. We've got John Kroll. And for those of you that don't know who John is in Northern Berkshire, John has been involved in the senior care industry. He's been a healthcare administrator, executive director, and has also done a lot with his own company, 180 Media, and is a Ward 6 City Councilman in the city of Pittsfield. He's done a lot with local media, and we'd like to welcome you. Welcome, John.
Jane, thanks so much. And we're able to get into this brand new studio, well, at least new for me, at NBCTC. I mean, it is tremendous here. So congratulations to everyone here with this new investment. It really makes a big difference. And community TV is so very important. I think all community media is so important, especially in the Berkshires. We're a smaller market. Mm-hmm. We don't have the big broadcast networks covering our local, whether it be issues, politics, or whatever. And so it's very, very important. So it's great to see Northern Berkshire investing in this way. So,
and you've seen this North Adams from a long time ago. We were talking a little bit before we came on about how you've got a lot of history with North Adams communication.
I do, and that's, you know, part of the evolution has been in the area of broadcast, where it's the for-profit commercial stations really kind of suffered the same fate as a lot of the for-profit broadcast stations, and it was bought out by a larger conglomeration, and you see the sort of chiseling away mm-hmm. of local staff. Mm-hmm. That was the case with WMNB, the old WMNB. Mm-hmm. Now there's a new one, which is really, really cool. You know, 1340 AM, which is still there on the broadcast mm-hmm. dial, but a lot different than when we were there back in, you know, the early 2000s. And so I was able to enjoy the tail end of a really golden era, where we had something like four news reporters mm-hmm. on staff and several DJs and a lot of management and salespeople at that bustling station. I think it's much more of a skeleton crew now. And so with that, it makes community TV and community radio that much more important for our communities to get good information.
And you've had a radio show that yeah. also simulcast TV. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. And part of my passion for sort of broadcasting and local communications, you know, continued after I left that as a profession. And my last full-time job as in broadcasting was with WAMC Northeast Public Radio. I was the Berkshire Bureau Chief there. And then I went to go work for the city of Pittsfield under Mayor Jim Roberto at the time. And I wanted to sort of continue and keep my toe in the water with that. So I started this this program, Good Morning Pittsfield. And I think now we're gaining on 10 years on the air. And it's the only, you know, simulcast radio TV show in the Berkshires, which is pretty cool. I think now you probably all may be challenging that, you know, because you have radio and TV going on at the same time
in
North Adams, which is really great. But we were proud of, first of all, saving that community radio station because it was in jeopardy of losing its signal and losing the license to be sold off somewhere else. So we kind of saved it. But then I think we kept the pilot light going so that as the new Taconic High School is built, mm-hmm. which is where it's located, it won't be at that location, but it now has a sort of entity that will has a home today, but we're looking for a new home mm-hmm. for it in the next couple of years. So it's sort of a labor of love, you know, it's a volunteer type thing. And so over the years, I've kind of, instead of 5 days a week, I'm doing 2 days a week and having other people fill in other days. So it's important that it continues on for me, because once you start something, it's great to see it continue. It's the local community, and it's one of the things that people do turn to in the morning to really get their information. So I'm very proud of that.
Well, and you've had to back off of that because you've got a couple of our irons in the fire.
Yes, so. Yes. Well, I have three kids, you know.
Three kids under three.
In 4 years, we kind of reproduced
quite a bit. Are they all boys?
They're all boys. Oh. You know, three-year-old, almost four-year-old. Arden is our oldest, and he'll be going to Crosby Elementary School next year for the four-year-old program. And we have a two-year-old, Everett, and a nine-month-old, Beckett. And boy, they're...
You look well rested, I gotta say.
They're a handful. Finally. You know, it took about 4 years to get there. But yeah, my, you know, God bless my wife. She's been a stay-at-home mom and for 4 years. And so, you know, we've had the full Berkshire experience. You know, I was able to grow up here and go off to school and come back and be able to grow a family here. So the Berkshires is a wonderful place, as you know, to raise a family. And so it's been a good, well, about 8 years or so since we, you know, since my wife and I were married and have our house and so on. So it's, you know, it's the Berkshires.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your work as a councilman?
What are sure.
You know, I know we're going to talk about the seniors in a minute,
absolutely.
But I just want to give you a
platform.
Well,
yeah, because seniors, everything, you know, there's, you know, you always want to sort of, you know, mentally you want to separate things, but the reality is everything's connected. Mm-hmm. You know, everything you do in the community, from political and government to the work that you do in the area, especially for seniors. So yeah, you know, the city council, I'm actually the vice president now of the council. I've been on for this will be getting through four terms now. I'm into my fourth term, rather, and so it will be 8 years after this term. And I think there's a new energy in the city. There's a new mayor, Linda Tyer, and there is some new excitement. One of the things that I want to focus on, as we're talking about seniors, mm-hmm. we do know that I think the number is, the median age right now is 70, so as many people who are over 70, mm-hmm. at least in Pittsfield, and it may be similar or
maybe beyond. More. Well, we have more people beyond. Over 65 than under 18.
Exactly.
Than in 2011
exactly.
here, 2030 the rest of the state. So
right,
we're,
and
we're
so so we that. Have an aging population. So so in order, I think, to support a community that is senior friendly, it's also important to make sure we have a full range and we're able to support the ability to have younger people come in for our tax-based purposes. So for instance, General Dynamics is a major employer in the city of Pittsfield, and they're trying to hire literally five people a week. And that's their goal, because they have to fill the jobs that they have, but also they have to deal with turnover, because people who are with General Dynamics between 1 and 5 years, the turnover is pretty significant. So that number of five people hiring per week is a real number that they're trying to accomplish. So one of the things that I'm hoping to do with many of these people who are younger is find higher quality, you know, market rate housing for these people, and make it in Pittsfield, you know, mm-hmm. because that's going to help mm-hmm. our tax base. It's going to help the value of our properties, and it's also going to encourage, we hope, more developers to create that. Because right now, I think it's fair to say throughout Berkshire County that the quality of our housing stock, you know, isn't quite where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things like the new Howard building that was recently built mm-hmm. out into market rate housing in downtown Pittsfield. We know that there are some plans for the old White Terrace building. You know, in North Adams, you may not know these by name, but they're basically old brick, high quality bones buildings, essentially, right. Great bones, but need to be gutted. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's an opportunity, kind of like what North Adams did
right.
with their mills. A lot of their mills, you know,
Clark
these yeah,
all of
exactly.
those places.
Some, you know, artist lofts in the cases in North mm-hmm. Adams, in many of the cases, mm-hmm. but these really great brick buildings that have a lot of potential. So I think that's one of the focuses that we need to keep our eye on to support the ability for quote-unquote millennials, you know, and that's the buzz term now, is to make sure that they have good options in Pittsfield, and I think throughout the Berkshires as
mm-hmm.
well.
And to maintain our infrastructure so that the seniors can have access to things, we've got to have that tax base.
Absolutely, and I think that's incredibly important, the age-friendly Berkshires initiative, and I'm sure you probably had Bobby Orsi
yes.
and others.
Right, exactly. Home Instead, for those of you that don't know, spearheaded
right.
a an initiative and got a grant for mm-hmm. age-friendly Berkshires, and they've done a lot of studies mm-hmm. for what we need in the Berkshires because our population is aging so quickly, and they looked at community resources, transportation, all of those things mm-hmm. in the components of that study. So I mm-hmm. think that's really important that our leaders are very well aware, and I mean, John's been at every meeting I've been to for yeah. age-friendly Berkshires,
right.
that our, you know, our community leaders are participating in this conversation about age-friendly Berkshires. I think
right.
that's great.
And that's and so and it's important that community leaders and you know, political leaders know about that, because that's driving some of the investment, and there may be grants available for those types of things, you know, things like, you know, it may not be simply for seniors, but things like complete streets mm-hmm. to make sure mm-hmm. that our streets are appropriate for pedestrians, you know, making sure they're safe and encouraging mm-hmm. people to walk on our streets and sidewalks, and also for bicyclists and the rest. You know, these things are important for an overall quality of life experience, which is what the Berkshires has to offer. So we have to continue working at that to make the Berkshires attractive mm-hmm. for businesses either to locate here or to grow here. So that's a key thing from a city council perspective. You know, there are all kinds of issues that come up, everything from animal circus bans, circus animal bans, to styrofoam bans, to other initiatives that you know, we look at, even, you know, national and international issues mm-hmm. where we take, you know, pipeline votes and mm-hmm. and things along those lines, or the, you know, Trans-Pacific Partnership, or supporting Verizon workers. So, you know, everything comes before the council, and I think that's okay, because we represent our constituents, and I think people want to have a say on a variety of issues, whether it's hyper local or even international issues. So we run the gamut.
See it all.
Yeah, see it
so
all.
Let me ask you a little bit about 180 Media. That's your business, and I know a lot of what you do is help senior organizations, kind of like Seniors Helping Seniors and some of the local facilities, get the word out about what kinds of services they offer, and really tell the story about what makes them different,
yeah.
maybe, than another person down the street.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that my background after I left broadcasting and went into government, I also then after that worked in healthcare for
John's
4 years.
John's 146, for those of you that don't know.
Boy, hopefully I've aged well.
Lived a full life.
Okay. I did work for 4 years at Berkshire Healthcare Systems in the area of marketing, and I had a wonderful boss. His name was Michael Cacciadorian, the VP there at the time, and his philosophy was very simple, and is something that really is a part of everything that I do, and that is, it's all about the experience of the patient. And if you can put yourself in the shoes of that individual, you know, and be able to talk about the outcome. And when we talk about outcomes in mm-hmm. healthcare, it's all about, what your experience
happened?
Was. What happened? Did yeah. you get better? Mm-hmm. Did you have a good experience? You know, and hey, how was the food? And how mm-hmm. you know, and all these different things that come into healthcare. If you go from that perspective, you know, you can never lose. And so, you know, some call it marketing, you know, others call it outreach. Mm-hmm. But really, that's what healthcare should be all about. Mm-hmm. So if you provide a good experience and you're able to convey that, then that's always a part of my philosophy. So when I talk to clients, I think one of the key things is to deliver that experience to that target audience that you're mm-hmm. looking to attract, whether it's people in the community or referral sources, because we know in healthcare, referral sources are critical. You have to cultivate them, and you have to develop good relationships. So that's another part of the strategic support. Absolutely. So, you know, and we can talk about that a little bit as mm-hmm. far as the experience and the knowledge of patients and their families. It's important to be an informed patient, and you hear that.
Because nobody wants to be a patient, and
nobody
then all
wants
of a sudden,
to, right.
it happens, and you're a patient.
And it happens, and so no one expects to be in the hospital for a broken hip. No one expects to be in the hospital because of major complications, you know, cardiac issues or
pneumonia
or a stroke or yeah. whatever it may be. And so at that point, many people are making very, very important decisions, you know, not just in the hospital, but I think for Jane, you and I, you know, mm-hmm. our conversation is often what happens after the hospital. And what happens after the hospital is quite a bit of, well, there's a range.
It's ambiguous.
There's a range.
You've never been through the process before, I mean, what's Medicare? What's Medicaid?
Right.
Does my insurance cover this? And what about my veterans' benefits? And so they're relying on one person, generally the social worker or a discharge
right.
planner at the hospital, mm-hmm. to route them through this maze of
right.
things that they really don't have time to research and they're not feeling well.
Yeah. So if you have a planned surgery, it's a lot different than mm-hmm. if it's an emergency, but especially in the case of, say, if you have a planned orthopedic surgery, knee replacement or hip replacement, these types of things, then you really need to do your research. Now, I know there are training sessions and before all that happens. However, you really need to do your own research, and you should tour either different facilities, depending on what the doctor is recommending. Some doctors may say, hey, you can go straight home, and usually that home means some support with home care, a skilled home care agency often that will provide those type of rehab services. But in many cases, especially for older people who are having these surgeries, you do need some continued facility support, and that would be the step-down support of a skilled nursing facility.
Or inpatient rehab, or something where you're getting 3 hours.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So you really need to see the difference between those. It's important to look at things like 5-star ratings that mm-hmm. come from the federal government. This is something that came into play probably, let's see, 2016, almost 10 years mm-hmm. ago now, that the federal government through the CMS services.
And that's Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
That's right. And so they started doing a ranking system based on very specific guidelines many, many years ago. And so a 5-star is your very best facility.
And they look at things like
clinical care, staffing, outcomes, naturally, and a variety of other things as well. So that will give you a good idea of where buildings stack up versus the
others. To make a short list, kind of.
To make a short list, and certainly, that's something you really want to look at. And then there are other things you want to look at. You know, am I going to have access maybe to a private room? It's more important for some people than others. I found, often I've taken for granted the fact that, of course, people want a private room, and generally they do. But there is another segment of the population who says, we don't want a private room, or it doesn't matter that much. Other things matter more than a private room. So those are things that you have to know about yourself or your own loved one. But the research beforehand is very, very important. So those are sort of the options after the hospital experience. Generally speaking, those are different options. Now, home care will be a little bit different, actually a lot different than facility care. Facility care will give you much more focused rehab. You'll generally get 2 sessions per day, and often you'll have 7 days a week to have that. For instance, one of my clients, Mount Carmel Care Center, has 7 days a week of rehab, and that's very,
that's
very
great.
Important. So you have PT, OT, and if you, for instance, suffered from a stroke, speech therapy would be another discipline that's pulled into it. So then you'd have 3 disciplines a day. When you have home care, it won't be that intensive.
It's usually about 3 days a week.
I've
worked as a speech path in home care and in skilled nursing and in the hospital. And really, generally, after you have an injury or incident, you really want to get the most rehab you can handle right off the bat. I think that's great if you're able to pre-shop mm-hmm. and find out where can I get the most rehab to get through this stage as quickly as possible.
And it can be also a combination. So
sure.
At first you may need a week or so of skilled care in a facility, and then if you're able to go home, you still may need that support of a home care agency support once you go home. One thing, and actually we were chatting before the program about your choices and what you make, it's important, I think, to have, if you go to a facility, to choose a facility that will do a home evaluation before you go home. The goal, hey, people are freaked out about nursing facilities. There's no question
right.
about that.
Right.
So I think it's important to realize that the goal, especially when it's a short term, the goal is always to go home. So when you talk to the facility and you talk to the admissions director and the therapy people, make sure that a home evaluation is something that they will do before you go home. And that means, and you can explain it probably
better than me, Jane, but
that means the therapist goes into the home. They're able to see you know, whether or not you're able to negotiate steps, whether you have the right support in the bathroom, or, you know, all these different things that we take for granted as healthy, able-bodied people. But, you know, if you are still recovering from a knee replacement or an illness, these things are very, very important. So to have that expert come in and say, no, this is not appropriate, you know, we have to fix this before going in, makes a big difference, because a big part of healthcare reform is all about reducing hospital readmissions. And so you better be sure that this person can achieve independence, or at least, you know, level of independence in their home before they go home, because, you know, that's so critically important. And that's important for, you know, you talk about that five-star rating. You know, hospital readmissions has to be a big part of that, because that's the overall goal.
And if that home assessment isn't done, you might not know, oh yeah, it is hard to get back out of the tub without that grab bar.
You would never know.
Yeah, you know, that can cause a fall in week one that you're home.
Absolutely.
And there you are, right back where you started. So that's a really good point about the home assessment. I think that's great.
And so those are just a few things to look at. But, you know, I think there's good information out there. And that's part of the job that I have with clients that I work with, is making sure that you're very comprehensive on your website, that we're able to build a great, and we build websites, we do rebrandings, we certainly create literature. But I think it's that strategic element, you know, that's been a niche for my company in particular, just because we're so knowledgeable about this particular industry, that it's not just the typical marketing stuff. We're able to provide that value added. So so as a small business, that's where I've been able to carve out a strong niche.
And I think that's nice that you really focus on telling the story of an individual, what it's going to be like, what it's going to feel like when you are in whatever facility, whether it's BMC, Mount Carmel, wherever you've been.
And it's actually interesting, because often the case managers love those stories. So one thing that my firm specializes in is creating what are called outcome profiles, you know, profiles in care, success stories, however you want to describe it. I have interviewed thousands and thousands of patients about their outcomes over the years. I mean, we're talking over you know, a decade or so. And part of that is that referral source, who really often does not know what happens. So a case manager has an individual, had a stroke, maybe had some acute rehab services in the hospital, but then they go down to the step down services, and then you never hear from that person again. And why would you? And you hope you don't, honestly. But what happens is, you know, if you're able to provide that story and the and a happy ending to that story, boy, the case managers love to see that, and they've told me time and time again that, oh, Mr. Smith, you know, it's great to see him doing well, and they're so appreciative of it. And that's part of the communications in healthcare, because we do work in these silos, and, you know, one day, hopefully, we'll be able to break through all these sort of barriers and complexities, and be able to be have better communication. But until then, it just takes the extra effort. And so that's one of the things that my company provides.
I think that's fantastic, the profiles in care. And we always joke about the human business and how it's so variable. I mean, one person's story can be so vastly different than another, but if you start to hear a common theme or a thread, and that's really what I think your company does, is brings together, no, this is really the experience that a group of people are having at this facility, like Mount Carmel or any of the others, so that the case manager has that confidence that, yes, this is going to be consistent when I recommend that the family go there.
Right, and I've been lucky to have very good clients who often do very well in ratings, you know, with their clinical. Porchlight V&A and Home Care is another one. Five-star home care agency,
and often it's a nice organization.
one of your former employers, and it makes you really proud, because then you feel so good about the fact that you're helping an organization that's actually doing really great work. Mm-hmm. And so it gives you a better feeling about, frankly, helping them get more patients,
right,
you know?
Right, exactly.
You know? So that's a wonderful thing. And it's you know, healthcare is a complex world, which means people do need more help in understanding, you know, what they're actually dealing with. So, you know, I hope I'm contributing in a positive way to that.
Well, I think you are. The other thing that we were talking about, pre-shopping for a step-down care level, if mm-hmm. you know you're having a planned surgery, the only other thing I would add is I have worked in a lot of those facilities, and you want to visit at different times of the day.
Yes,
because you want to see what happens on the 7 to 3 shift and the 3 to 11 shift, mm-hmm. and make sure that you have a good feeling every time you're going in, if you get the chance to pre-shop. Now, let's talk a little bit about if you don't get the chance, and you have an event that's not planned, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. dad's in the hospital, or you know, mom's in the hospital.
Right, and even at that point, you know, I would recommend do your best to actually tour the building.
Mm-hmm.
Even in that case, now, generally speaking, it is a geographic thing, you know, because you want to make sure mom or dad is in a certain proximity of you. So if you live in Pittsfield, you know, you have a certain choice. You probably have more choices in Pittsfield than you do in the North Adams area, because there's simply more buildings. There are more choices for that. Not in home care, because generally they all cover Berkshire County, all the skilled agencies do. But if you can't do that, definitely research online, and definitely go to Nursing Home Compare, website.
Is that just government... nursinghomecompare.org?
I think it's nursinghomecompare.com. It could be .gov.
But
if you just Google search Nursing Home Compare, that will actually give you a module that allows you to literally take the buildings, take the facilities that are in your area, and actually compare them side by side. So you'll see the 5-star ratings, and you'll also see the different ratings for the different areas of the 5-star criteria. You know, things like staffing, things like, you know, clinical outcomes and surveys and the rest. There is another area that Massachusetts, now Massachusetts is probably one of the better commonwealths as far as doing their surveys. They do an annual survey that's unannounced, mm-hmm. That does go generally a few days in each and every facility in Massachusetts, and often you can see the history there, mm-hmm. and when you have a deficiency-free survey, that is a pretty good achievement, because only about 1 out of 4 buildings achieve a deficiency-free survey in any given year. So if you have a facility that has had consecutive deficiency-free surveys, that's exceptional.
That is a real feat. I mean, that's essentially, if you worked an office job, it would be like having every paper off of your desk every minute of every day and organized and put away. I mean, mm-hmm. it really is mm-hmm. quite a feat, because
right.
everybody in every department really has to be firing on all cylinders,
right.
dietary.
And it, yeah,
I
and
mean,
it does,
they test the
right.
food, they
exactly.
test everything.
And they go through all the records, and it's very comprehensive. Mm-hmm. And these surveyors aren't, you know,
they want to find something.
They're looking, and rightfully so, because this is your mom, this is your dad. This is very, very important to families, and I think Massachusetts does a much better job than most states.
Absolutely. I mean, I've worked in several states, and mm-hmm. You know, the state of Florida does this kind of several day unannounced, and you know how many seniors are down there. So
right.
Massachusetts, I would say, is very progressive with
right.
regard to that.
And it is, and I think there's a lot. Generally speaking, the people who are in this business, working in senior care, do it because they truly, truly love what they're doing. You know, especially in healthcare, there are a lot of different avenues mm-hmm. in healthcare. There are a lot of different places. You know, you can certainly work at the hospital level, and so people who do choose to work in senior care, especially those certified nursing assistants mm-hmm. who have been doing it for decades. To be frank, not the greatest level of pay. The wages for certified nursing mm-hmm. assistants is
near minimum wage.
It's mm-hmm. really unfortunate, because mm-hmm. it's that is the front you know, level service
being provided. And it is a hard job. I did it for 4 years, and,
yeah.
and it is, it, you know, it takes a lot of love for those mm-hmm. nurses' aides to be able to do that every day.
Yeah, they're truly on that front line, and it's the people who patients see the most. And so for people to have great experience in that, who have done it for decades, they truly love it,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. Another thing to ask as we're talking about staffing and talking about the people and their longevity is to ask whether or not the facility has agency nursing in there.
Explain what that is.
So basically it means that you have, because from a financial perspective, you always want to have people working in-house. It's more cost effective. It's better for you know, sort of the team building aspect as opposed to having agency. An agency would be bringing in people hired from an agency to fill shifts for your facility. So if you have a building that does not have to rely on any agency, I think that's a good indicator for a couple of reasons. Number one, it means there's not a lot of turnover because, you know, and you have a solid team. If you have a lot of turnover in a building, that could be a red flag
mm-hmm.
for several reasons. But I think mostly it's just that team, you know, cohesiveness.
Well, that's, you know, they're treating their employees right. They want to keep them around.
Absolutely. So that's important. Now, as far as the rehab team, I would say that just about every building in Berkshire County does have a service that provides rehab. Mm-hmm. I think there's one building that has their own in-house rehab. But generally speaking, you should have a rehab team that works very well with the clinical team. And if you're, you know, if you're seeing a lot of turnover there, that's not a great
mm-hmm.
thing either.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of been an accepted thing in the skilled nursing world, is that, you know, that the rehab services are hired out.
And that was, I did that for years. We would mm-hmm. be the people that would come in, and it's because therapists, it's a whole different animal to manage outside
mm-hmm.
of nursing. So that's
yeah.
that's a very natural progression. But I think you've got a really good point about, you know, the agency. Not only is it more expensive, but it's an indicator that there might not be
right.
a healthy team on
right.
the nursing floor.
Right, and if people are happy with what they're doing, and they're you know, then they're going to stay
mm-hmm.
because, you know, and make no mistake about it, when you are a registered nurse in Berkshire County, there you have plenty of options.
Yes, you do.
You know that, you know, if you don't like where you're working, you can probably find a spot somewhere
mm-hmm.
else pretty easily based on what the job market looks like right now. So to have consistent staffing
mm-hmm.
is saying something about a building.
Mm-hmm. So if any of you watching have children that are nurses, tell them to move to Berkshire County because we can use them.
Yeah. I think that's a fair statement.
Do you want to talk about any of your clients, Mount Carmel? Would
sure.
you like
I mean,
to discuss anything about those,
you know,
buildings?
You know, certainly Mount Carmel Care Center is a facility that has excelled in many different ways. It's a small building. 69 beds is relatively small when it comes to skilled nursing facilities, but I think that's a great advantage for that building. I think there is a greater sense of home-like feelings there, and also because it's faith-based. Now, Mount Carmel, it's actually a member of the Carmelite sisters and Carmelite system that has buildings all over the Northeast and throughout the Midwest. However, the operating model you could never call it a corporate type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, and I think there is a difference between a homegrown nonprofit versus a corporate nonprofit versus a proprietary
mm-hmm.
facility. I think that's another element to look at as well. I can tell you I've worked in each of these, and I think that it makes a big difference between, you know, a localized nonprofit. Which I would say Mount Carmel is. I would say Berkshire Place is also
mm-hmm.
in that category. versus the sort of corporate nonprofit, mm-hmm. which would be the Berkshire Healthcare facilities. I think that's a fair assessment. And then the proprietary, which is your sort of Kindred Healthcare, mm-hmm. which is a very large for-profit. They have one building now in the Berkshires, the Laurel Lake buildings. You have Bain Care, mm-hmm. Which I believe is not actually. I thought they were for-profit. I think they're for-profit, but I'm not so certain. But that's another entity that's mm-hmm. Part of a larger network throughout Massachusetts. That's the Springside Building, Sugar Hill, okay. and Craneville. Those are some of the choices. And again, the information is out there to compare, and it's also dependent upon whatever your loved one's specific needs are. Mm-hmm. You know, do they need stroke care? Is it an Alzheimer's dementia mm-hmm. situation, which is a whole nother realm. And there are some different buildings that have different specialties from secure units and to otherwise. So obviously,
and different programming and all
different programming. For instance, Kimball Farms has a very specialized mm-hmm. unit for that, which is kind of a assisted living type.
Almost like a hybrid.
So, depending on what the situation is, every building will offer something different. And so I think the research is incredibly important.
And I think it's important to note too, I mean, all of these companies and all these facilities in the Berkshires, most of them have been here for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And we all, you know, everybody has their perception of, oh, that's the place for that, or, you know, they used to. And I think it's great that these resources are out there now that you can look and kind of take a fresh look if you really are looking at any of the facilities, because they may have developed an orthopedic program or developed a great Alzheimer's program that you might not be aware of. I learn new things about the buildings all the time. Maybe they get some really great new person that's mm-hmm. trained in a new medium that...
Right. And I think part of that also is knowing the customer and how they're mm-hmm. doing the research. So, you know, as we've said probably about three or four times during the show, you know, these family members, yes, you should go visit and you should go and take tours. However, buildings and administrators and marketing directors need to know that that may happen, that may not happen, mm-hmm. but we know exactly one thing they will do, and that is they're going to take out their iPhone or their smartphone and they're going to check it out. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have a mobile-ready website and a mobile-ready experience to provide, it's really setting yourself back. So that's some of the work that we do today. You know,
with 180 Media, you
of
help
course
people.
With 180 Media. So, you know, we build websites, but specifically catered to that experience
that
when you're in that hospital, and the case managers give you a little sheet of paper and they give you choices. Now, what are you doing? You're Googling those different choices, mm-hmm. and you're making some level, maybe not the final decision, but you're making some, having some idea of where you're going to go from there. So if you're not providing a good presentation at that level, it's not going to help you in this process of giving them the choice of your building and versus your competitor, because, you know, whether people know it or not, it is an extraordinarily competitive field out there.
But it's helped the quality go up.
I think so. I mean, I think it should, and I think that's part of healthcare reform mm-hmm. too, is understanding, you know, what is that right mix, you know, between sort of preferred buildings and what makes a preferred building, you know, and having one network. Clearly, it seems to me that there is a big advantage for the big healthcare system, which is Berkshire Healthcare Systems and Berkshire Health Systems in Berkshire County, to have buildings that are their own buildings when it comes to healthcare reform. But for many of the other buildings that are not affiliated, their argument should be, look at the quality. Mm-hmm. Look at the quality that we have. Mount Carmel Care Center, for instance, Berkshire Place, for instance, five-star buildings that have been deficiency-free for many, many years and have low rates of hospital readmissions. So that's kind of the challenges that we face mm-hmm. as a wider community to say, you know, what does healthcare reform look like to ultimately achieve the goal that reform wants to achieve, and that is reducing hospital readmissions, reducing the overall cost across the board to provide a more efficient delivery of healthcare, because in the United States of America, healthcare is extraordinarily expensive, as you and most people know.
Right.
So how do we achieve that goal locally while being fair and making sure people know that they have a choice? And we hope the choice includes the highest quality of care, not based on other elements.
Now, what can people say? We're talking a lot about choice and about research.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you do all this research, or you have a family member that goes and does all this research. You know, we've got a lot of seniors that are not mobile friendly,
right,
as yet.
Right.
Let's say, you know, daughter in California gets on her mobile device and does the research, and she says, "Mom, it looks like X facility is great. I think this is what we should go with." What if the person at the hospital is saying you have to go to Y facility? How does that?
Well, I think first and foremost, if you are not communicating where you want to go, generally speaking, it will default perhaps to somewhere else. And so I think being proactive is the first step. Now, the only, to me, the only reason why you wouldn't get accepted to the place that you want would be there because they don't accept the particular payer, or they don't have an available bed for you. To me, those are sort of the two major reasons why that wouldn't happen. But hopefully that isn't the case for you. But I think the important thing is to be proactive.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be put in a situation where you go somewhere by default.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the key thing. Mm-hmm. And if the case manager doesn't hear that there's a clear choice, then you have basically,
relegated yourself to the
exactly,
lowest bidder.
and a lot of different elements go into that mix, and a lot of that is communication between, you know, the representatives of different buildings, and mm-hmm. and there are certain technologies that say, okay, we have a patient, and that information gets out to the buildings, and then they say, well, we have a bed available. So some of that is just logistical communications,
right.
but when it comes down to it, it is up to the patient. And so one of the messages that we have developed with Mount Carmel Care Center is that you have a choice. And I don't think that's so clear. That's not always necessarily clear.
It's definitely
so
not,
you,
yeah.
you know, so as a family member and as a patient, always know that. And so before you become
a patient, know that.
I mean, and to be honest, I mean, I think that is the way it works. I mean, if you are a new mother,
mm-hmm.
For instance, and you are referred to home care because there may be some, something with the baby that may need some extra care thereafter. There are a handful of services, home care agencies who provide that service.
Right.
But, did you get that choice or not? Most mothers wouldn't even, they sent me home with a VNA.
Mm-hmm.
And that VNA may be the one affiliated with the hospital, and you don't know any difference, and you just move on, but you may have not even known that you've had a choice. That's part of the thing in healthcare that we probably don't do a good enough job in doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, technically everyone's supposed to get a sheet of paper, and that sheet of paper says you have these choices and this is your region and so on. What that sheet of paper looks like and how, these are the kinds of things that hopefully we just take the chance out of the mix by making sure people are aware and make the right choice and are pretty confident in their choice or very confident in their choice before it even gets to that point.
Now, I alluded to what if somebody's not so tech savvy, and maybe the kids aren't in the area and they're too busy, but somebody wants to get familiar with some of the local facilities. Can you recommend some ways that they could get themselves out there and get familiar? Let's say they just want to go on a driving tour and think, maybe if we want to check these places out, just so we know what's out there. Mm-hmm. What kinds of things should they be aware of?
I think, you know, at that point, a good conversation to have would be with Elder Services.
That's great.
And Elder Services in Berkshire County does a tremendous job. They have individuals, ombudsmen who go out to facilities, and certainly they're aware of what's happening in buildings and the quality. So I would lean on that as an organization. They're independent, they're out for seniors, and they're a nonprofit.
So impartial third party.
Certainly, I would hope so. And certainly. Elder Services is clearly in a position where they really are advocating for people to go home versus a nursing facility. So they're certainly pushing in that side. But I think everyone agrees that no matter who the patient is, that really it's up to us to provide the best level of services. Mm-hmm. So, you know, while we may have difference of opinions on whether this individual should go home or whether this person should go to a facility, I think we all agree that they should go to the place that's right for them.
Absolutely.
Based on what their clinical diagnosis is and what their condition is. So while the area may be gray somewhere in the middle, mm-hmm. I think everyone agrees that there are some patients who are appropriate for nursing facilities and facility rehabilitation, and there's some patients who are clearly appropriate. In the meantime, there is a gray area there.
Absolutely.
And that's a conversation that we're constantly having in the world of healthcare. And it's a healthy conversation because, you know, generally speaking, do people want to be home? Yes, absolutely. Everybody wants
I started seniors
to be home.
Helping seniors,
and that's something that's a goal.
Sure.
Even for, I would say, all nursing facilities would say that the goal, especially with short-term patients, is we want them to mm-hmm. get better and go home. That is always the first goal. Now, sometimes people are not able to progress positively as well as they can, so they may have to stay longer or, God forbid, permanently. But even that,
mostly, yeah, that the reason that you have rehab in those places
is to get to the assisted living mm-hmm. level, or, you know, that greater
level
yeah. of independence.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So,
yeah.
I think if you just roll with it and hope that that everyone is looking out for the best interest of the patient, that's really what it comes down to, and that's the important thing.
One, I think there are enough people asking questions now, and you know, we talked a lot about the surveyors, and there are enough people looking mm-hmm. at every case that
right.
I feel like, you know, you don't have to worry about the old days of people worried about going to a facility for short-term rehab and somebody closes the door behind you.
Right.
And
right.
I don't think that's the case.
Right.
But I think there's still a pervasive fear out there that that's going to happen, but it really mm-hmm. That doesn't happen. If people are able to go home, there are people that want to help.
Right, and I think that's where Elder Services, there is that advocacy,
right.
And again, with their focus on doing whatever they can to get people home, and there are different programs mm-hmm. to even take a step and try to do its best, you know, mm-hmm. to get people into the home environment. I think when you look at the balance, it's been more weighted on that side of mm-hmm. things, which is fine, which is great, because like I said, everybody wants to be home. You do, I do,
well,
we all do.
And Elder Services is great because mm-hmm. they have so many different programs, which you alluded to. And so if anybody out there doesn't understand or doesn't know maybe all of these different services that John's talking about, you know, you can call up Elder Services and ask different programs. I mean, they have people that help with money management, navigating the Medicare system, mm-hmm. at any system that you can think of, they can help you with. So
absolutely.
And all you have to do is be a resident of Berkshire County, correct?
I believe that's the case.
And
now, non-expert.
I'm not an expert either. I'm not an expert either.
But I know them very well, and they have some really great
yeah,
people.
Yeah, they do have some great people.
They do. John Lutz, their executive director, great guy. I know members of their board, mm-hmm. and very, very committed. And you know, they do a lot of work because, like we said, a lot of seniors in Berkshire County.
Yes, there are.
A lot of seniors in Berkshire County. So, but yeah, and seniors helping seniors is, and you know, it's funny because we meet probably on a monthly basis, and our friends at Home Instead do a great job with the elder network events. And we learn so much, and it really is kind of this tight-knit community, which is a great thing because I think that helps, and I think that helps in that sort of communication across companies and across services and all that to ultimately get to that point where we're just providing the appropriate and very best services.
I think
for
it
patients.
Helps with the network for the rural community. I mean, just the fact that I would never have met you, know about your organization, would not know a lot of the other healthcare organizations to refer to. If somebody is in need of that level of care. And I think you're really helping to get the word out there with 180. I think that's pretty cool.
Well, I appreciate that.
So is there anything else you'd like to discuss?
Oh my gosh. Well, seniors helping seniors. That's what we're here to talk. It's tremendous. I think the Berkshires is a special place. You know, I know you're very much now involved, especially here in Northern Berkshire. It is a special community. You know, there were some real tidal waves when the hospital closed here in Northern Berkshire, and I know there are many people who would like to see a real small hospital, you know, a real, small hospital here in Northern Berkshire, and I'm with them. I really think, you know, having a hospital in Northern Berkshire County is an important thing for this region. As far, I mean, you know, I love Pittsfield. I think, you know, people, you know, ought to come and visit Pittsfield, but I don't necessarily feel as though that, you know, if they have an emergency that they need to take an ambulance all the way to Pittsfield.
Right.
And so, and I know there's some emergency levels.
They do a good job.
And all that. But, you know, I think to get to that level of having a hospital here locally, it would be good for this area. And I'm partial to Northern Berkshire. I worked here for several years, as we talked about.
Right.
Know the people
you
here
worked
well.
At the transcript?
I did. Which doesn't exist anymore. That's when you know you're getting old, when you work for companies that just
don't exist.
A year or so at the North Adams Transcript, and my first boss was Kevin Moran, who is now one of the vice presidents of the Berkshire Eagle,
the new
Berkshire Eagle, and additional papers, part of the Bennington Banner, and others, a part of it, it's you know, it's a small community, but it's one where
riding the change,
keep rolling with it, and hoping for the best, and working to address areas that will support growth. That's what we're looking to do.
Well, I appreciate you coming on today, and I think you're really one of the people that's driving the force of change and adaptability to our new economy, to our new lifestyle, to our new demographic, and I think it's great all the work that you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you for being here and starting a business in the Berkshires. And that's and I know you're growing.
My seniors are contributing to the tax base. So.
That's right. That's a good thing. So thank you so much for that. And this show is fantastic.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you next week.